It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Wisconsinites paid a smaller portion of their personal income in state and local taxes than at any time in the last five decades in 2023.
A new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum shows that Wisconsin ranked 34th in the country that year for tax burden. That's a term describing the level of taxes as share of income.
That's a big reversal from 25 years ago when Wisconsin regularly ranked among the top five nationally for the highest tax burden, along states like New York and Maine.
The decline in Wisconsin's tax burden over the years is the result of public policy, and it has had a ripple effect on the state's ability to fund K-12 public schools.
Mark Sommerhauser is a researcher with the Wisconsin Policy Forum. With us in the studio now for a look at the findings. Mark, thanks a lot for joining us.
It's great to be here.
All right, number 34 in the country for the tax burden in the 2023 report, the most recent year where we have complete data. Put that ranking in context for us.
Yeah, so 34th actually was a slight change, just a slight increase in the ranking from 35th the year prior. That was an all-time low that we saw at number 35 in 2022. Kind of the bigger picture, as you were alluding to, Rob, is that over the last 20-plus years, Wisconsin has seen a really significant decrease in both our tax burden, you know, relative to ourselves and relative to other states, and we've seen our rank decline very dramatically in that area.
Now, before we dig into what's behind this, I want to address people who might be saying, wait a minute, buddy, I just saw my property tax bill. Seemed pretty high. What's going on there?
Yeah, there definitely are a lot of folks that have seen property tax increases this in the bills that just went out in December, and we have some separate research that's delved into that. What this tax burden number measures is we take all state and local taxes paid by everyone in Wisconsin, and we take that, and that's our numerator, our denominator, we take that as a share of all the personal income earned by all Wisconsinites in the state. And so when we kind of, you know, and the idea there is to try to find a number that, you know, looks at the ability of our state to pay all these state and local taxes. And what we see is that that number has declined from at a high point, about 12.5% to below 9.8% here most recently. And that has put us, again, on decline just looking at that number, but also when we compare where that number ranks compared to other states, we were routinely in the top five in the late 1990s, early aughts, and now we find ourselves in the mid-30s.
What is behind that decline?
So we've seen a series of income tax cuts at the state level, which has probably been the biggest factor and the most consistent factor. We've also seen state policymakers put in place some mechanisms that have limited the ability of local governments to increase property tax levies. And so that has been another piece as well. And then we've also seen increases in income, of course, over that period, over the last 20 plus years.
I imagine one party or the other might want to take credit for all of these changes. As you spell it out in the report, this happened some under Democratic Governor Jim Doyle, some under Republican Governor Scott Walker, and so on.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that the declining tax burden did accelerate around 2010 or so. Mm-hmm. And folks will recall that's when we did see a shift in the partisan makeup of state government. But yeah, as you allude to, this is not something that's exclusively the province of one party or another. We've seen a reduction in our tax burden under both Democrats and Republicans.
Now, I remember back in the 90s, people would say, hey, we're a high tax state. And then some other people would say, yes, hold on, we're a high tax state with low fees for a wide variety of services and high services compared to other states. What's happening to that other stuff as the tax burden goes down?
Yeah, so this is where we do see kind of a flip side. As we've seen our tax burden decline as a state, we've seen some other declines in certain areas, certain key areas of public spending in our state. And that's kind of, you know, where you see the flip side of that. One of the biggest areas that we look at, the biggest area of spending at state and local spending is education spending. We've seen a pretty significant decline in our education spending as a share of income. Again, trying to account for the ability of Wisconsinites to actually pay for these services. So to give an idea here, in 2023, our state ranked 34th in K-12 spending as a share of income. That's compared to 2000, we ranked 8th. So that's been a big decline. Now, there is somewhat of an important variable to think about there, which is K-12 enrollment. Our state has seen a larger decline than most other states in K-12 school enrollment. However, when we attempt to kind of factor for that and we look at education spending per pupil as a share of income, we've still declined pretty significantly. We were 26th in that metric in 23, down from 11th in 2000.
We're talking about taxes and the state budget with Mark Sommerhauser with the Wisconsin Policy Forum. The group is out with a new report showing that Wisconsin ranked 34th nationally for tax burden in 2023. That's comparing your state and local taxes to your income, continuing a long-term trend of decline. And yeah, Mark, I have conversations all the time we do here on Wisconsin Today with school leaders, with local government leaders saying, okay, you've got a budget surplus somehow. We're seeing these tax increases, but we're getting a little starved here. We're not seeing what we expect, in some cases with the new lawsuit, what we think is constitutionally required by the state. What is happening? Why are those local governments and school boards not seeing what they might expect?
Yeah, so in the most recent state budget that was enacted here last summer, we did see an increase. There was an increase in state funding for special education reimbursement to school districts. However, general school aids, which is kind of the biggest pot of state funding to school districts, was held flat, did not increase. And at the same time, we saw an increase in the revenue limit that was kind of made possible by Governor Evers' use of his veto pen 2 years prior. And what that has done is it's put school districts in a position where they do have an opportunity to increase their revenues by that $325 per pupil amount. But all of that is coming from, if school districts want to do that, all that has to come from an increase in the property tax levy. And so that's kind of going back to your point earlier about some folks saying, hey, wait a minute, my property tax bill's going up. That kind of explains why that's happening.
And I wanted to get into that balance of, okay, we got sales tax, we've got the state income tax you mentioned, and the property tax. And there are arguments over which is the best kind of tax or the right way. You mentioned a decline in state income tax. Sales tax we pay so gradually, right? We never see one bill for that. Is that three-legged stool leaning heavily on that property tax side for many communities?
There's no question that it is the reliance on that leg of the stool has increased here over the last few years. We've seen, steady sort of drumbeat of cuts to the income tax. Our sales tax has pretty much held steady with the notable exception of Milwaukee, right? We did see a new local sales tax put in place in the city of Milwaukee. But outside of Milwaukee, we've kind of been in the same place in terms of sales tax. And yeah, our increase, we've definitely seen an increase in that reliance on the property tax.
Sustainability of this decline in the tax burden. What do you look at in the future now? We can't predict it, but what are you looking at for those big trends?
Yeah, so our report has identified, some factors that are going to make it, at a minimum, more difficult to continue this trend of a declining tax burden. And we're already seeing this year some increases in that property tax due to the factors that we kind of just discussed. There is this kind of mounting pressure on our local governments, both schools, but also our municipalities, counties, that is starting to bubble up. Another key factor is that our personal income growth in Wisconsin has really started to lag the country, especially in about the last 15 years or so. And that makes it more difficult to decrease the tax burden if your income, is not increasing as quickly as the nation. So we see a situation here where there's going to be an increasing amount of tension between do we continue to decrease our tax burden or, do we think about the flip side of that in terms of what it means for services.
We have a state budget surplus this last couple budget rounds, right? And people are looking at this as a pool of money we could do something with, cut taxes, raise school spending, whatever. This did not used to be the norm in Wisconsin budgeting. How have we decreased that tax burden and increased that surplus over time?
Yeah, that's a good question. Few things. I think it's important to realize that while we've been cutting income tax rates, our tax collections have still been increasing. So people hear tax cuts. It's not like we've been cutting the actual amount of tax revenue. We've been cutting the rates, and that's been slowing.
If my rate is lower, but I'm making more money, I'm paying more taxes.
Exactly. That's right. So that's one piece of it. Another really important piece is that the state saw a pretty large infusion of federal aid in the early 2020s during COVID, both going directly to the state's general fund, but also your listeners will recall, we had money being sent out to households around that time. Folks spent some of that and paid some of that to the state in terms of tax revenue. So that kind of created a big surplus in the early 2020s that the state had been very slowly spending down ever since.
Big question is, okay, things look pretty peachy state budget-wise with some quibbles, of course. what happens when a recession comes? Because I remember 2008 recession, Wisconsin and lots of other states, all of a sudden that income tax, if people have less income, the state collects less. People are buying less stuff, less sales tax. Are we ready for a shock if and when a recession comes along?
Well, the good news is we're definitely more ready than we were in 2008 because our state was operating on very thin financial margins at that time. Now we do have a surplus. We have essentially money, to use the household analogy, we have some money in our state savings account this time around. So that's the good news. The flip side is that in this most recent budget, we are spending more than we're taking in revenue. We can do that because we have that money in the savings account. But we think it's something that warrants, you know, some caution moving forward.
We used to call that a rainy day fund in Wisconsin. I think there was some legal requirement that we keep a little something in there. Do you see an eagerness from policymakers to spend that down one way or another, whether it's tax cuts or increased education funding or whatever?
Right now, there's definitely some eagerness on the part of policymakers to spend it down. But with the current governor and legislature, they just can't agree on how they want to do that. We'll see. There is apparently some negotiation happening right now between the governor and the legislature on, you know, something that could maybe, put some money toward all of their priorities. So we'll see if that comes to pass. And then, of course, we have, you know, a very consequential election coming up here in November as well.
What is the next data point, briefly, that you are eagerly watching for to add to and extend beyond this report?
I would say one of the next data points for sure will be our spring elections. We're going to see a lot of school districts again going to referenda in those elections. And it'll be interesting to see. For the most part, most voters have tended to approve those referenda. So we'll be interested to see if that trend continues moving forward, which is really going to have a bearing on this whole tax debate.
Mark, thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Rob.
That's Mark Sommerhauser, researcher with the Wisconsin Policy Forum. We've been talking about Wisconsin's declining tax burden over the past 25 years, the policies behind that trend, and where we may be headed next.